Being thankful in all things. Powerful message. If you missed it, make sure you go on YouTube, Facebook, or on our website and catch that. And I think the notes are still actually up on our app if you wanted to grab those. He talked a little bit about being thankful for our birthright, for our salvation, talking about being thankful for his promise. And I loved his point and his thinking on being thankful for his increase in our lives. Can I get an amen for that? That's some good stuff. So I really do hope that we are all ready to go further in this series together, just open to receive and willing to be transparent before the Lord. And this is my heart, that as we walk through this series together, that God will reveal himself to you in a fresh way as we lead up to Thanksgiving and celebrating together in that. And that every life here would be filled with overflowing thoughts of praises of Thanksgiving. So today I'd like to talk to you about be thankful for who God is. Be thankful for who God is. There, in Acts chapter 17, there's a group of scriptures that I want to read to you with you if you want to take out your phones or your Bibles. Otherwise, it'll come up here for you in the NIV, and it says this: "The God who made the whole, who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us, for here it is, you guys, in him we live and move and have our being." Can I get an amen? "As even some of your own poets have said, for we are indeed his offspring." I don't know if you guys have ever had a time where you felt a little awkward about something that made you feel awkward. Speaking of awkward, my youngest dog, he's a Rhodesian Ridgeback Bear, and his stomach has been upset for quite a bit, and we had him ready to get his OFA test so that we could start studying him out and stuff, but he was so sick that he had lost some weight, and so we took him in, did some blood work, found out actually everything was okay, he just needed to change his food a little bit. And but with the blood test, you had to get some pee from him. Sorry, I got to say that word. And they could not get him to go to the bathroom at the vet clinic. So the vet walks up to me and he gives me this kit and he says, "I need you to go home and capture some of his pee." And so I'm like, "Seriously, Bear? Like, you pee everywhere." And so we get home and I knew there was these two bushes on the front that he targets. And so I was waiting on him. Sure enough, he goes to it, and I go to try to put the pan under him, and he just hops off the bush and starts running around the yard. And I'm like, I'm out in my front yard in front of everybody chasing my dog. Come on, man. It's awkward. And so when I was back in 2018, I had gotten invited. It was a real estate conference, and I got invited to go. It was a kind of a semi-private thing, and there was about 50 of us, and they separated us into two groups, and they had us at one point separate and had us sit in a semicircle. And so both of the guys that were teaching, they were very high energy, like, "Come on, guys, you know, we're going to sell the world," and, you know, everything. And they just make you feel all pumped up that you can go out and sell anything. And so he goes, "All right, I want to learn a little bit about you. This is what I want you to do. We're going to go around the room." Now, guys, when it's like four or five people, that's not a big deal. You got to say your name, where you're from, that kind of deal. But when you're in front of a group of people, and then he asks these two questions. He goes, "I want to know what is the most exciting thing you've ever done and what's the most dangerous thing you've ever done." And he goes, "Go." It was like that, you know. And so first of all, praise the Lord, I was in the middle because I didn't have to go first. You know what I mean? Because as you hear people tell their stories, you're literally starting to think, "Dude, I don't want to sound cocky. I don't want to sound awkward. You know, I don't want my stories to be dumb." You know, you're doing all these things. And by the time it's getting closer and closer to me, I'm sitting there going, what's the most exciting thing I've ever done? What's the most dangerous thing I've ever done? And you're panicking. And guys, it's awkward. But you know what he was doing? What they were doing? They were measuring us. They were gaining some insight of who we were. What do you identify with? You see, we are in an identity-obsessed culture. Everybody knows this. I'm not teaching you anything, but I want to just listen to this. Receive what I'm about to say. We identify today with our families. We identify with race. We have people with disabilities now that are identifying with their disability. We know what's going on with gender right now. We know what's going on with sexuality. People are trying to find their identity. There's a group of people, there's a lot of us that we identify with what people say or who people say we are. They're telling us what our identity is. We identify with football teams, city, East Coast, West Coast. And then there's a large amount of people that will say, I literally don't know who I am. I don't know who I identify. We think of that song where we sing that I am who he says I am. And you think, here's the truth, is that I can say that I know who I am. I can repeat boldly what he says that I am. Guys, and look, this is just a few scriptures that are going to come up for you. That I am a child of the living God. That I am strengthened with his power. I am forgiven and redeemed. I am more than a conqueror. I am the righteousness of God in Jesus. I have no lack. That I am free. And we love this last one, that I am the head and not the tail. But we can say all this, and we can pray it, and we can try to believe in it to our lives and believe in that God is going to do this, but we can literally walk out the door and still feel insecure. We can still walk out of here afraid, still living in shame. Some of us today came in, we might feel like we still have chains that are attached to us, and I'll be the first to agree with you. It is important to know who you are, because I want to know. I want to know what's next in my life. You know, I want to know what my future holds or why I do the things that I do. I want to know where I will go and how I will be used. But listen to what I'm about to say. There is nothing more important than knowing who God is. You know, there's a story we've heard many, many, many messages on, and it's when Jesus takes his disciples up to Caesarea Philippi. Here's the truth. I've talked about it a couple times, but I'm going to just give you a little bit of background. The truth is in the times of Christ, Caesarea Philippi was probably one of the most beautiful places on planet Earth. But yet at the same time, it was one of the darkest places on planet Earth. They actually had a pool up there. They thought it was a bottomless stream that they would sacrifice human beings. They called it the gate of hell. And they would sacrifice people. And they would put the body into the water, and if the water sank and disappeared and no blood came up, then the God accepted their sacrifice. But if that didn't happen, guess what they did? They just kept sacrificing people until that event happened. We know that they worshiped Caesar there. We know that they worshiped Pan there. We know that they worshiped the gods of fertility there. We know that they worshiped animals. We know that they had statues of the heads of gods, multiple gods. And here is Jesus. He takes his disciples up there. He's having this conversation with them. He's showing them all this worship and all these gods. And he asks this question. He says, who do people say that I am? It's found in Matthew 16, 13. The disciples start telling him, oh, some say you're Elijah, some you're Jeremiah. And, you know, they're going through all the lists and whatever. And he looks at Peter and he says, who do you, Peter, say that I am? Peter sounds off. You are the Messiah. You are the Son of God. You know, he starts proclaiming these things. And guess what Jesus does? As soon as Peter proclaims the truth about him, he says, now I say that you are. Church, come on. Now I say that you are. The reason it is so important to know who God is once we proclaim who he is and his authority over our lives, he will begin to speak into you and release his calling on your life. Jesus will say, what I am going to do through you, what I'm going to do in you, what I'm going to do for you. You see, when Peter recognized, when Peter vocalized who Jesus was, Jesus in return told Peter who he was. Isn't that good? Come on. Look at this up on the screen. If you truly want to know who you are, you have to recognize God first. Who is God first? That's got to come up. Knowing who God is, being able to identify and declare who he is, it will stir your ability to be thankful. Peter knew who he was because he knew who Jesus was. Peter knows who he is because he knows who Jesus is. We can't keep falling into the trap of letting the world tell us who we are. You see, I know who I am because I know who my God is. Come on. I know who Jesus is. My identity is in God. I know who I am because I know who Jesus is. The question is who is God? We're going to talk about this a little bit, but who is God? Guys, look at this. It's going to come up for you. Look at all these. Look at these amazing names of the power, and they all mean something. There's something that can be applied to our lives. You can pick them. You can add Savior. You can add other names, Ancient of Days. You can keep adding these names of God, but it's important that we know who he is. And I want to ask you this question. Are you thankful for who God is? Amen? Who is God? Who is on the throne of your life? Because whoever is on the throne of your life, listen to what I'm about to say, will be the one ruling over you and telling you who you are. I didn't even say this morning. I was watching college football yesterday, a lot of it, and they would have these commercials that would, or no, it would just literally come up almost like at the end when they were going out, and they would put something at the bottom saying, if you have a gambling problem, call this number. Guys, that is something that is ruling millions of people's lives in the United States of America. That's who sits on the throne. So it's important. Who is God? I got on my computer, I was studying, and I decided to type into Google. This is exactly what I typed in. I put, what is America saying about God? And Barna Group comes up, of course, and some other things, some other polling that they've done, and there was this one that caught my attention. They had polled around 10 to 12,000 people nationwide, just in went state to state polling people. And they asked the question, they just said, do you believe that God truly exists? And what happened was that the response came back that 49% of those polled do not believe that God truly exists. Now, it's not that shocking, but the problem is that it didn't include the question that followed, which was, if you don't believe he's the one true God, do you believe in other gods or do you believe in higher power? And the percentage was much greater. So the danger that we're living in now in America is that we are a very low percentage of America now that believes that Jehovah is the one true God. Those same Americans are asked the question, do you believe that Satan exists? 56% of them said, yes, we do. That we have more people in America now that believe that Satan exists over that the one true God exists. This is the America that we're living in. Until I start discovering who God is, and listen, this is a lifetime of discovery. I'm talking about like times where it's okay to be mad at God. It's okay to ask tough questions to him. It's okay to be joyful and worship him. It's okay that in your mess that you just sometimes don't feel like really pursuing, but just letting him in his presence. It's a lifetime journey of getting to know who God is. When I was a little guy, man, my perception of God, look at this. Look at these pictures that are going to come up for you. See, now this is Adam and God. I had to put some shorts on him, you guys. He was kind of naked and put a cap on him. He wasn't ready for church, you know what I mean? So I put some shorts on him and put a cap on. Now he's ready for church. But anyway, but this is how I visualize God. This is when I was a little guy. You know, I came up in church in the 70s where it was you didn't want to get beheaded. You don't want to get the number 666 on your body. And so every Sunday, I was down at the altar crying my eyes out. I didn't want to get left behind. I didn't want to take a nap and miss the rapture. You know what I'm saying? And so God to me was kind of this kind of grumpy Santa or, you know, just really serious guy. You know what I mean? But that was until I got into relationship with him. Now it's not about an image of what I think he looks like. I just know who he is. Come on, give me an amen. So it's that journey of relationship. It's walking it out, diving into his word, saying yes, that I finally find out who I truly am. Knowing who God is helps me know who I am. Guys, I already know how tall I am. I know when I'm gaining weight. It's easy. You know, your belt just all of a sudden, you're losing notches. You know what I mean? It just starts, like, things start changing. I know what happens when I get hungry. I know my zodiac sign. I'm a Leo. Who cares? You know, honestly, you know what I mean? It's like I know these things. I've taken the Truity, the high five, and the DISC personality profile test. And every time I take them, I never agree with the results. It only confuses me more about who they're saying that I am. None of this can tell me who I am more than the one who brought me into existence. Come on. God. He knows me. He knows who I am. The more I know about who God is, the more I know about myself, then and only then can I be truly thankful for who God is. I know that he loves me. I know that he sent his son Jesus Christ to come and die for me. I know who I serve. I know who has my heart. I know who is speaking to me and leading me and filling me. I know my God knows me better than anybody else. Let me give you some scriptural support for that. Romans 8:27. This is a great version found in the message. Check this out. He knows us far better than we know ourselves. He knows our pregnant condition and keeps us present before God. Pastor Rajan brought up this point talking about God birthing himself to us. He talked about that when the Holy Spirit came upon Mary, that she birthed Jesus to us. And here we are in our pregnant condition. God has moved upon us, and what's going to come out of us is going to change nations. It's going to change families. It's going to change our future because we're going to birth Jesus to people. Amen? So this scripture, he knows us because of that. My pursuing his face, because of my relationship with him, because of who God is, I am truly thankful. Thankful for who God is and who God is in my life. So I want to give you just three thoughts to be thankful for. Be thankful that God is the promise maker and the promise keeper. You guys ever had somebody break a promise? Come on. You know, it happens. It's the worst. In Psalms 145:13, it says that the Lord is trustworthy in all he promises and faithful in all he does. Isn't that a great scripture? That what he says he's going to do, he's going to do it. He says, I am with you. That he goes before you and will never leave you. That he will give you rest. He says that my power is made perfect through weakness. That I have plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. You might ask the question, well, how can I trust the promises that God has made? You know, we know this. We know that in Scripture, there's people that debate this all the time, whether there's 7,000 to 10,000 or over 10,000 promises in the Bible, but they're there for us. So how can we trust that he's going to keep these? Well, the first thought is this, is that God is truthful. Guys, listen to what I'm about to say. His very essence is truth. He cannot lie. Titus 1:1-2 says, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to further the faith of God's elect in their knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness in the hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time. In other translations, it says he cannot lie or that he can never lie. How about the second one, that God is faithful? Give me an amen. He is. Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Here's an important one. God is able. Come on, God is able. He is all-knowing. God knows every detail of a situation. He can see all of our lives from beginning to end. Every promise he makes is based on his infinite, perfect, and complete knowledge, which means he never can make a mistake. He is everywhere. His continual presence guarantees the fulfillment of every promise that he makes. He is all powerful. Nothing is too hard for my God. Here's a good one. God is love. Notice I didn't say love is God. God is love. 1 John 4:7-10, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice of our sins. This is how I know I can trust God to keep his promises. He is the promise maker and he is the promise keeper, and I am so thankful. Can you just say thank you, Jesus? Come on. So here's a second thought is, first is God is the promise maker, promise keeper. Secondly, God is the word. Come on. Very important. Listen, we all know John 1:1. If you're not familiar with this, I want to read this to you. Look at this right here. That in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And what does it say? And the Word was God. So we know that when we read this text, that we're talking about Jesus. Come on. That Jesus was there at the beginning with God. Jesus was there in creation. So was his Holy Spirit. We're talking about Jesus and that Jesus is God. I want to say this to you in front of everybody. I am so thankful for Jesus. Very thankful for Jesus for many reasons. He went to the cross for me. He defeated death, the devil, and hell for me. He saved me and cares about my future. I love it when he says things like, I am the door. Or in other translations, I am the gate. Look at this. I am the door, and if anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. I love that Jesus confronts the violent storms in our lives sometimes. You guys, have you ever gone through a violent storm? One literally where you go to sleep and it's going on and you wake up and the storm is still going on. And he is the one that speaks to it. I love that when he says, peace be still, the wind and the waves of my circumstance have to listen to his voice. That he loves me. His Father loves me. His Holy Spirit loves me. He sees value in me. He has a purpose for me. He is coming back for me. And I celebrate this because I am so thankful for Jesus. Amen. Come on. So I want to ask the worship team to come on back up. Let's give them a hand. Great worship this morning. Amazing. So here's my third and final thought. First, it was God is the promise maker, the promise keeper, that God is the word. And check this out. God is so good. God is so good. Ezra 3:11 says this, and I love this translation of the scripture. It says, and they sang responsively, praising and giving thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Everybody say good. For he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. We went out for brunch with Ken and Paula Zinzel a couple weeks ago. Hey, I see you guys. Here's Ken and Paula. There's some all-stars sitting back there. We went to a restaurant. I'm not going to tell you which one because I don't want people, this is what happened, you know. But my pancakes weren't that great. You know, they were just kind of flavorless, you know, and I had butter all over them and the whole thing, and Ken had pancakes too, and I didn't know what he was thinking, but I knew what I was thinking. And I look over, and they've got this humongous bottle of syrup that they've heated for you, you know, so I poured some syrup on that thing. Guys, I put more syrup, let's put it that way. All of a sudden, man, those pancakes started tasting pretty good, you know what I mean? And so we're both, and I started noticing, me and Ken, man, we're just going back and forth with this thing. Guys, look at this picture. This thing, that bottle's about that tall. Come on, Ken. We wiped that syrup out, man. I was like Elf, you know what I mean, in the movie? I just wanted syrup on everything. And so here's the thing is, you guys, to capture what I'm about to say. The pancakes weren't that great, but the syrup made them good. But when I think about God being good in my life, I'm not comparing him to a good pancake. I'm not comparing him to some great movie. Let me say it this way. There is such a complete, pure perfection in God and his character that nothing is comparable to it. There is nothing flawed in it, and nothing needs to be added to make him better. God doesn't just do good things. He is the only perfectly good thing we will ever know. Think about what I just said. He's the only perfectly good thing in this lifetime that you will ever know. Look at the scripture to support that, and it's a short one. Mark 10:18. No one is good but one, that is God. Isn't that great? That when you get a solid understanding of who God is and you know who you are, it's no longer about me and you, it's about Christ being in me and in you. I know how good God is, and most importantly, I know who God is. And this is what I know about my God. He has always loved you. His name is Yahweh, Elohim, Jehovah. He is the first and the last, the beginning and the end. He is creator of all. The entire universe responds to his voice. Time does not hold him. He always was and always is. He is unmoved, unchanged, undefeated, and never undone. He came as a baby, but left as my risen Savior. He has risen to bring power. He reigns to bring peace. He lives to bring life. Church, we need to remind ourselves He is God. He is Jesus. He is the Holy Spirit. He is life. He is love. He is light. He is goodness, beauty, hope, power, and faithfulness. This is what I know about my God. He is forever holy. He is worthy, powerful, and pure. My God cannot lie. He is the promise maker. He is the promise keeper. He pays attention to me. His eyes are on me. He is not made of wood, metal, or stone. Let me introduce you to my God. My God is alive. He is our peace. He is our Lord. He is our comfort. He makes a way when there is no way. He is joy and He rules my heart. He sits on the throne of my life. Remind yourself that your God actually wants to have a relationship with you. He'll never forget you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He'll never mislead you. He will never cancel you or cast you out. Who is our God? When you are lost, He will come looking for you. When you fall, He will pick you up. When you fail, He'll forgive you. And in your weakest moments, He will be your strength. Church, when you feel like trash, He will be the beauty in your life. When you can't speak another word, He will be your voice. When you are afraid, He will be your peace. Thank you, Jesus. Everybody say, thank you, Jesus. That wherever I go, whatever I go through, whatever people might say, whatever I might think, the decisions that I have to make in my mess, in my hurt, in the worst and best moments of my life, my God is with me. Come on. Let's all stand. Come on. Guys, I'm going to say this last thing. I know who I am. 100%. I know who I am, and I want you to hear why. I will not be confused about who I am because He is not confused about who I am. And praise the Lord, I know who my God is. Heavenly Father, let's lift a hand toward Him. Heavenly Father, we thank You. God, for every person in here, devil, You have to release every human heart in this room today. You have to let go because they are children of God. They are families united in God. We are a church that loves the Son of Jesus Christ. So, devil, you got to go in the name of Jesus. And so, Father God, I pray that all confusion, all hurt, all mess, anything that would try to break communion with our God, it has to go in the name of Jesus. We know who we are because we know our God. And we give You all thanks and praise. And everybody said amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Be seated, you guys.